We're going to begin here at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara is continuing where we left off yesterday in discussing a braita that it brought, from which we were trying to determine what Rabbi Elazar's position in our Mishnah really is. When Rabbi Elazar says pasul in our Mishnah, does he mean pasul midoraita, or does he mean pasul midrabanan? The Gemara attempted in yesterday's daf to say that there's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Elazar argue about Rabbi Elazar's position as to whether he thinks it's deoraita or derabanan. The Gemara concluded, and that's what we're going to begin with today, at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet, that no, Tukuliyama Koreit Leka, everybody agrees there's no Chiyuv Koreit here, we're only talking about a Psul Derabanan. How are we going to explain that Breita, the Breita that we brought, which said, Shochet et azevach lishtot mi domo demachar, laktir mi bisero demachar, lechom mei murav demachar kasher, the dat chachamim, that whenever you have a machshavat achila about something that goes on Mizbeach, or machshavat haktara about something that is achilat adam, over there the machshava is not efficacious and therefore kasher, whereas Rabbi Elazar Pusel, Rabbi Elazar says that that's Pasul, because he thinks you can have a machshava from one to the other, and aniach mi demod machar. The final statement of the Braita is that if you leave the blood over, you intend to leave the blood over until tomorrow, there Rabbi Yehuda posel, and Amar Rabbi Lazar, apazu Rabbi Lazar posel v'chamim machshirim. Rabbi Yehuda says posel, and Rabbi Lazar says apazu. Even in this instance, Rabbi Lazar posel v'chamim machshirim. The same machloket exists. So Gemara says v'halcha gimel machlokot. But there's a three-way machloket. The three-way machloket about the gzeira d'rabbanon that Rabbi Lazar believes. Remember, the Gemara just concluded that there's no karet according to Rabbi Lazar. It's all gzeirat Atu. So what's the Gzeira Atu? The Tanakama Savar Bahanach Plige, the Machlokutin Rabbi Lez Nachamim about Gzeira Atu is only when you mix up the Achilat Mizbeach with the Achilat Adam. There, since you're using Achilor Akhtara, we say Gzeira Atu according to Rabbi Lez Nachamim, say no, it's a Kasher. But when it comes to the Haniach, there where you made no reference to Akhtara and no reference to Achilah, over there even Rabbi Lez agrees there's no reason to be Gozer Atu. And therefore, Divrei Hakol Kasher. Everybody agrees in that case that Machshava is meaningless, and the Korban remains Kasher. V'Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ba'anach Pligei. And in the first three instances, they argue. Rabbi Lezer, again, is Gozer Atu. Chamim are not Gozer Atu. Al Aniach, Divrei Hakol Pasul. When it comes to Aniach, even the Chachamim agree it's Pasul. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Posel. Posel means according to everyone. My time, oh. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say even the Chachamim agree over here that it's Pasul? Gzera mitzach mo atu kol damo. Gzera because of a portion of the blood for the full amount of the blood. The kol damo psula deoraita. If all the blood is left over, then you have psula deoraita because no zrika tadam was done. Since no zrika tadam was done, there you don't have a kosher karban and you have a psula deoraita over here. So they were gozer atu kol adam in an instance where you did mix at adam. So if he has a machshava mix at adam, we're going to say it's pasul, even though there's no problem deoraita yet, because if he had a machshava about the entirety of the adam, or if you left over the entirety of the adam, then you would have a problem, because then there would be no zrikat adam that is done over here. The Tanya, Amalem Rabbi Yehuda, iatem modimli, don't you agree to me? Shim heinichol machar, you left over tomorrow, shepasul. Chishev lanichol machar. Therefore, if he actually has a machshava to do the machar, nami pasul. It certainly should be pasul over here. Ve'ata Rabbi Elazar the Meimar, and then Rabbi Elazar, who's the third opinion in the Braita, comes along to say apizu Rabbi Elazar posel v'chamim machshirim, that the machshem machok that exists in the first three cases also is applicable to this case here of laniach. That's the three-way machok. Everybody agrees we're talking about gzerat chachamim over here. Just a question of the nature of the gzerat chachamim. The Tanakam believes the gzerat chachamim is only when you're dealing with achila and akhtara. Laniach is outside of that realm, and even Rabbi Elazar will agree that that's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Everybody agrees by the case of laniach, because there you're dealing with dam. Dam is a unique circumstance where if you left over all the blood or had the machshava about all the blood, it would be pasul, be pigul. Therefore, when you have a machshava about miksat, even the chamim agree that in that instance it's pasul. So everybody agrees to that gzeira. But when it comes to the first three cases, it's only Rabbi Elazar who has the gzeira. The chamim do not have the gzeira by achila and akhtara. Along comes Rabbi Elazar and says, no, machlokas persists throughout the entirety of the braita. Both the first three cases and this final case, laniach, we still have a disagreement. Rabbi Yehuda says in all these cases we are gzeira atu, and the chamim believe in all these cases that it's mutar, kasher, the behemah is totally fine. Tosos asks over here, why does the gzeira of Rabbi Eliezer only apply to dam or the aniach? Why don't we apply it to, if he has in mind to drink all the blood, like in the first part of the Braita, then why don't we say gzeira otu, that he would consume all the blood? Why are you only in the case where he says the aniach do we worry about it? Also, what about the gabay to eat? Lechol mehamurim. Oh, tomorrow, because if you eat all the emurim, then it would be pasul. So why don't we go to there? So Tosa says the lashon of lishtot and lechol is something that comes after the fact. L'shtot the dam means after I've done the zrika the dam, I'm drinking the blood. Or the emurim, it's after I've done akhtarat emurim, then I'm going to eat the emurim. I mean, they weren't totally consumed on the fire, they're just roasted, now I'll eat them. And again, maybe by emurim it won't matter at all, as Tos points out, because emurim are not ma'akev the kapara. So over there, we won't be gozer. But in our case of lehaniach, lehaniach sounds I'm leaving everything. I'm doing nothing besides leaving the blood over. So in that case, I'm going to be gozer otu, the case where you leave over all the blood. Now the Gemara questions this position in Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that divrei hakol pasul when it comes to the leaving over of the blood? Batanya, the Rebbeita Amar Rabbi. When I went out to, the literal reading of this is, I went to squeeze out the last drop of my measuring utensils, that I wanted to get to the last drop, squeeze it all out. Rashi explains to us that matzot midotai over here means that all my sfeikot, anything that I had a doubt about, I went to check in with Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. V'amri lo, and some say the matzot midotav, that I went to squeeze Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, meaning that I went to find out what he knew that I didn't know. I came to find out all the extras that he had that I didn't have, and I wanted to find out from him. Matzati, when I came, Rabbi says, before Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, I found that Yosef Abavli Yoshev Lefanav. Yosef Abavli was learning in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. V'ya chaviv lo biyoter, and it was very beloved to him, adachat. Until he reached, all the way until he reached this halacha. Now Rashi interpreted it one of two ways. There's now two interpretations. Either Yosef Abavli was beloved to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Rabbi Yosef Abavli was asking all these memrot and saying all these things for Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, and he was enjoying it. Until they reached this halacha chat. Or, he says, Lashon Acher, the other possibility is that whatever Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was teaching was very chaviv to Yosef Abavli until he reached this one halacha. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfot, on the other hand, brings other interpretations of the word lachat. He says, "V'miglat starim derbenu nisim garis adachat." Not adachat, meaning that the girsa that Rashi has is adachat, until that one halacha, but rather the girsa, like the one we find in our Gemara, is ad le'achat. What's adachat? Perush ad me'od, very much. And he brings the targum of the word me'od to be lechada. So that means le'achat. V'yesh mefashim adachad. Adachat means le'achat, means until one. They were unified. Ad nefesh, in a great nechida. They were spiritual oneness between them, and that was what the chavivut that we're speaking about here. What happened? What was the story when Rebbe got there? What was transpiring? That Amar lo Rebbe ashuchet et hazevach laniach midam olam achar. Someone who shechs the zevach to leave the blood over tomorrow. Mahu? What's the din? Rabbi Yosef Abavli is querying Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, and he says, "What's the din?" Amar lo kasher. He says, "It's fine. It's not a problem." Arvit Amar lo kasher. At night, he told him it was kasher. Shachrit the next morning, he told him. He asked him again. He said kasher. Tzoraim in the afternoon, he asked him again. Amar lo kasher. Mincha Amar. Kasher. At mincha time, he finally said to him, "It is kasher." Elish Rabbi Elazar posel, but Rabbi Elazar says it's pasul. That is a machloket. So open up, Shel Yosef Abavli. The face of Yosef Abavli radiated. He was excited by this new statement, by this change in Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's position. Amalo Yosef, kimedumani shlo kivenu nu shmatetenu adata. Sounds or looks from your expression on your face that until now you disagreed with the way that we were learning this, but all of a sudden you found something now that until now whatever I said to you, that was wrong. Now you found, now you agree with me. I'm alo, ain't Rebbe ain't. No, that's not really the case. It's true that what you just said now made me very happy, but it's not that I didn't believe what you said before. I didn't think the halacha that you said before was right. Ella, Rebbe Yehuda, pasul, shanali. I've learned that Rebbe Yehuda had said pasul, the braita that we had before. Yosef Abavli says, I learned that braita from Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda told me pasul. V'chazarti al kol tamidav. I went and asked all the talmidim of Rebbe Yehuda. U'bikashti li chaver. And I went to find someone who had heard the same thing from Yehuda. V'lo matzati. And I never found him. Achshav shishanita li pasul. Now that you taught me that there's another person, Rabbi Elazar, who says it's pasul, hechzarti li avedati, you returned the aveda to me, meaning that you now gave me another person who has that same position. If one is Rabbi Eliezer and one is Rabbi Yehuda, that thing we'll do it in a second. Zagu enav dimaot, the eyes of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua swelled with tears. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Amar ashreichem talmidei chachamim, praise be these talmidei chachamim, shedivrei Torah chavivim alechem biyoter, that they have such love for the Torah that they search and search and search until they find what they're looking for. Karalava mikra zeh, said about Yosef Abavli, this pasuk, ma hafti toratecha kol yom yistichati. Torah is so beloved to me that it's all my conversations revolve around the Torah. Its unwavering focus was on Torah. Ha! Now, the explanation of why it is that Yosef Abavli was excited about the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua told us, Ha! Mipnei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda was the son of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elai, Talmido Shu Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore he was the Talmid Rabbi Eliezer. The Fikach Shonalacha Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, he taught you the din of Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua says to Yosef Abavli. It makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda said pasul over there because he was really quoting Rabbi Eliezer's position. Why didn't he call it Rabbi Eliezer? Well, because his father was Rabbi Elai. Rabbi Elai was a Talmid of Rabbi Eliezer, so we call him, he's like a grandson Talmid, a grand Talmid of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore he quoted Rabbi Eliezer's opinion as if that is the opinion, even though it's a dat yachid, even though maybe we don't pass in the way, but he quoted it as if that's the din. So that's why now when you hear it from me in Rabbi Eliezer's name, and Rabbi Yehuda said it over there, that's the same, it's one. They're all talking about Rabbi Eliezer. Now we get to the question. The whole question here, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold Divrei HaKol Pasul? If you believe Divrei HaKol Pasul, that when Rabbi Yehuda says Pasul, he means Divrei HaKol Pasul, not just Rabbi Eliezer, everyone, then my Chzarta Li Averati. How could Rabbi Yosef Ababli say, here, now you brought me back my Aveda? Iu Plukto Kamarle. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shemua is saying it's a machok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. And, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda was telling him a Divrei HaKol Pasul. Elamai. Okay, so what do you want to suggest over here? That Rabbi Yehuda taught him Kasher, Rabbi Eliezer Posel, that really Rabbi Yehuda, when he told this member over to Yosef Abavli, he didn't say Pasul, meaning Pasul Divrei HaKol, but rather, he said Chachamim Achshirim, and Rabbi Eliezer is Posel. That's what he taught him, Matnei Yochi. That's the case. My Haipimpnei. Then what is the issue here? The explanation that was given, that Rabbi Yehuda quoted it, not in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, but quoted it Stam, was because Rabbi Eliezer was his grand Rebbe. So because of that, he quoted in that fashion. Well, he didn't quote it that way. He quoted a Machloket. So then what was different about the statement of Rabbi Yehuda than from the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua? They're exactly the same. Machloket. So then there's no reason to say Hamipnei. Ananami plukto kamat nitan. We're also talking about a machloket. So what's the difference between them? Ella, Dolam, Divrei HaKol Pasul, Atnei. No, Rabbi Yehuda really said Divrei HaKol Pasul. Maya chazarta li averati. Then what does Yosef Ababli mean when he said, you returned my Aveda to me? Dahadele mia shum psolid beldam. That he brought him another, at least one other opinion that believes that's Pasul. True, it's not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. If Rabbi Yehuda holds everybody, Divrei HaKol Pasul, he says over here, just Rabbi Eliezer Pasul, but at least he found somebody who says it's Pasul. Until this point, he couldn't find any Tana that said it was Pasul, except for what Rabbi Yehuda had said. So now with the statement of Rabbi Eliezer ben Shemua, at least one Mandomer says that it's Pasul, that makes him feel more comfortable about what he had heard from Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Divrei HaKol Pasul. The next Mishnah now tells us about certain avodot that are not me'akev the mincha. Lo yatzak, if he didn't do the yitziyakata shemen, lo balal, if he didn't mix the shemen and the solid together, lo pitate, if he did not fold them over, velo mileach, if he didn't salt them, velo inif, he didn't do the tnufa, lo higish, he didn't bring the mincha to the keren mavridro meat, o shepitatan pitim rubot, or he made them into large pitim, with large folded pieces, velo mashchan, or he didn't do mishichat shemen, kshera. In all of these cases, bidievet, it is kshera. These avodot are not me'akev the mincha. We'll go through them one by one. The lo yatzak, as Rashi explains over here, the way that a mincha is done is first you place the shemen into the kli, then on top of that you place the solet and you mix them together. The yitzikata shemen takes place at the end. Now yitzikata shemen is mentioned in two instances. It's mentioned by the minchat solet. It's also mentioned by the minchat machavat. We extend that to also apply to a minchat marcheshet. But when it comes to the minachot that are me'afet tanur, they do not require yitzikata shemen. So those three minachot, that is the minchat solot, machavat, and marcheshet, but there is a requirement for yitzikat Hashem at the end of the process, afterwards. There, we say, it's not me'akev the mincha. Rashi over here explains that in betchila, in the beginning, you always put shemen into the kli. Now, truthfully, that happens to be a machloket rishonim. Rashi and Tosfot believe that you always put shemen in the kli first. The Rambam agrees with them with some of the minachot, but when it comes to minchat ma'afet tanur, the one that is done in the tanur, that's the chalot matzot and rekikei matzot, so there you do not put shemen down first. But here Rashi states it as a given fact, like all menachot, that you do put the shemen down. So that's the lo yatzak piece. Lo balal. Balal or blila is the mixing of the shemen and the solet together. That blila is required in all menachot. You have to mix them together. Here, if you didn't do the mixing, it's not ma'akev, bidyevet, it's okay. The next one is lo pitate. Pitate is actually mentioned by the minchat machavat. By the minchat machavat in the psukim, vayikra perek bet, pasuk, hey, it says, minchal machavat karbanecha solet blula b'shemen matzatiyeh, patot ota pitim. You have to fold it. There's a machlokes later on in the Masechta what it means to fold the mincha. One says you fold it twice. You make one into two, and then two into four, and that's it. There's another daya later on in the Masechta that says you fold it until you reach the size of a kezayit. Until every little piece breaks down, you bring it back to almost being a flour. After it's reached that hardened state, you break it back down like almost into a matzah meal, but there has to be something, a kezayit worth left in each piece. So here it says, im lo pitet, if he didn't do the ptita, then b'tiyavet, it's okay. Lo milech, all the karmanot that go on the mizbeach require melach. So the komets that's going on the mizbeach, you must place melach on it. If you don't place the melach, then b'tiyavet, it is kasher according to this Mishnah. Lo inif, two menachot require tnufa, wave offering. That is the minchat kenaot, the mincha of the sota, as well as the minchat haomer. If you don't do the tnufa, it's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev, and therefore they are both kasherim. Lo igish, every mincha requires it being touched to the corner of the mizbeach, the dromit marvit corner of the mizbeach, you have to touch the mincha. Again, that's a requirement, but not ma'akev the kapara, and therefore b'dievet, if he didn't do it, it's kasher. Now, pitzatan pitim rubugo, Rashi is the avamina, which is that he folded them up and left them as big pieces. He left them as large pieces, more than their size should have been when he folded them up, and therefore, even if he does that, b'dievet, it's okay. Lo mashkan, mishichat shem is something that is only done with one of the minachot, and that's the minchat mafe tanur rikike matzot. In the psukim, it says about that mincha mafe tanur solet chalot matzot bilulo b'shemen urikike matzot mishuchim b'shemen. You have to do mishichat shemen at the end. You have to put the shemen on top. That mishicha will do later in the mesechta. He does it like a Greek chai, and how much of the oil he does, but there's all the oil that remains, or some of the oil that remains. That we'll discuss later in the mesechta. But that mishicha again is not ma'akev, and if you don't do it when the mincha mafe tanur, or every kike matzot, it won't be ma'akev. Now, Gemara asks, my lo yatzak. When it says in our Mishnah lo yatzak that he didn't do the yitzika, what does that mean? Ilema lo yatzak klau. If you say he didn't do the yitzika, the shemen whatsoever, ikuva katavba. What do you mean he didn't do it? We have an ikuv that's written by the yitzikata shemen. Where is that? The Rashi brings two possibilities down. The yitzikata shemen that is mentioned by the minchat machavat, that's the same tsukim we read before, mincha machavat karmanecha, solid bula b'shem mit matza itiye, patoto topitim, viyatz. Sakta aleha shemen minchahi. Minchahi is, it's only a mincha if you do the tzikat shemen. So that would tell you that the tzikat shemen is me'akev. That's one possibility of what the me'akev is. The other possibility is that we just read to you about the minchat machavat. Earlier in Psukim, in Pasuk Aleph, when it talks about minchat solet, it says, Nefesh ki tekriv karan mincha la'ashem solet, iya karbano, ve'yatzak aleha shemen minatan aleha levona. There it also mentions the tzikah. So you have the tzikah mentioned twice, once by solet, once by the machavat. It says it's repeated, it's la'akev. Since it's said twice, it's la'akev. And that's why there's an ikuv. So it can't be that our mission is saying bid the ever. If you didn't do yitzikah, it's fine, because yitzikah is a requirement of the mincha. Ella, lo yatzak kohen, ella zar. The meaning of our mission is that it wasn't done by a kohen. The yitzikah wasn't done by a kohen, but rather by a zar, and bid the ever, that's ksheira. So Gemara says, well, if that's your explanation of lo yatzak, let's move on to the next line in the mission. It says, yachi lo balal. He didn't do blila, nami, lo balal kohen, ella zar. And in the mission, when it says bid the ever, it's kosher, that's only when a kohen doesn't do it, but a zar does it. But if he didn't do blila at all, it would be problematic. Is that really true? How lo balal? Klal psula. Had you not done blila at all, it would have been psula. Is that really true? We have the famous statement of Rabbi Zeir about that. Vatnan. We have a Mishnah. Shishim nivlalin. Shishim ve'achad. Ein nivlalim. The largest mincha that you can bring is a mincha of 60 isaron solet. Because a mincha up to 60 isaron can be mixed with the shemen. Beyond that point, you can't mix it well with the shemen. So therefore, 61, you already have to bring in a 2 kelim. It has to be brought as 2 separate minachol. Ve'avinim ba. Im ein nivlalim, my if they don't get mixed, what's the difference? The Belila is not Me'akev. Belila is not Me'akev, the Korban Mincha. If it's not Me'akev, then why does it matter? 60, 61, if it's not. V'hatnan lo balal k'shera. They quote our Mishnah and say that Belila, if you don't do Belila, it's k'shera. Implying clearly that they believe that our Mishnah is speaking about that he didn't do the Belila whatsoever. And if he didn't do the Belila whatsoever, it's k'shir. Then the explanation of the Mishnah can't be that it wasn't done by a kohen, but rather by a zar. I mean, it wasn't done whatsoever. V'amar Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Zeira says about this. Kol ha-ra'ui le-bila. If it has the ability to be mixed, then ein bila me'akevet bo. Then the mixing is not me'akev. Then you don't have to do the mixing. L'chatchil, you should mix it. But if you don't mix it, it's still kasher. But that's as long as there's a possibility to have it mixed. Kol she'en ra'yu the bila. On the other hand, when you get to 61, where it's not possible to mix it, over there, bila me'akevet bo. Then you can't say b'dievet, it's kasher. Because there's no possibility of ever doing bila about this. Rashi over here comments about, is Rabbi Zera's statement said, according to Rabbi Lezer, according to the Chachamim? There's a machlokas later on in the Masechta, when it comes to bring a mincha of 60 isaron, how much shemen comes with it? Rabbi Eliezer believes that you only bring one log shemen, no matter how big the mincha is. In one kli, you get one log shemen. Rabbi Chaim Shomim believe. For every Yisaron Solet, you bring a log shemen. So Rashi brings down two possibilities. He says, one, this is only according to Rabbi Lezer's opinion that it was one log shemen for the entire 60, and that's why after 60 you can't mix it well. And then he brings Velinira, says, according to me, I think it's not just according to Rabbi Lezer, I think it's even according to Chachamim, that even when you bring a ratio of Yisaron Solet to a log shemen, nevertheless, even according to Chachamim, once you cross 60, you can't mix it well anymore, because they're not Nivlalim Yafeb Kli Achad, they can't be mixed properly in one Kli, it just becomes unwieldy. And therefore, even the Chachamim would agree to this position of Rabbi Zeira. Tosfos says that either this is some sort of misora, that that's the way it works by law, or that when it comes down, it says Ubalalta b'shemen, we never have it said as a tzivoy. Never gives Belilat Hashemen as a tzivoy, therefore there's not an absolute requirement that Belilah be done. So the possibility of where Rabbi Zeira learned his din from is either it's a Gzerat HaKatuv, or some sort of misora, or the fact that the Torah never expresses the Belilah of Shemen as a tzivoy. It tells us that it must be Blulim, but never as a tzivoy. And then the last thing Tosfos asks is, okay, if it's not Ma'akev, where did Rabbi Zeira ever come up with this principle, this idea that it has to be able to be Nivlal? If Bila is not Ma'akev, just say it doesn't work at all. Tosfos says, it's a Yishlamar Svaro Ba'amuhu. It's a logical argument. Kevin Dichtav Rachman Abila, the Torah wrote that you must, that it should be mixed, then they buy the Chola Pachot Ro'oi LeBila. If you say Bila is not Ma'akev, and the Torah still wrote Bila, then you have to have some sort of minimum standard. What's the minimum standard Bila? He says the logical argument is that the minimum standard is that it has to be Ra'ui LeBila. That's the logical argument. That's where Rabbi Zeira gets his position from. Gemara says, Midiria, why are you comparing Yitzika to Blila? Our Mishnah will have two different dinim. Hadeita v'akadeita, each one according to its din. Lo yitzok. Lo yitzok in the Mishnah means lo yitzok kohen elazar. Yitzika is ma'akev. Therefore, when the Mishnah says, if you didn't do yitzika, it's okay. That's if the kohen didn't do the yitzika. But if azar does the yitzika, then it's fine. Belo balal. When it says lo balal, the Mishnah means lo balal klau. He didn't do bilo whatsoever. He didn't mix it at all. There, it's still kshera b'diyev, because it's not ma'akev. So each one will be its din in its context. Lo yitzok is in the context of yitzika. There, you need a zar at least to do, because it's ma'akev. Bilo, since there's no ikov the gabei blila, then even if it's not done whatsoever, it's still kasher as long as it is ra'ui the bila. O shepatatot pitim mirubot kshira, if you made them into large pieces, hashta lo pitet klal kshira. In the Mishnah it says that if you didn't do the pitit at all, you didn't do the folding of the mincha whatsoever, then it's kasher. Pitain mirubot mibay, if he folded them and left them as a little bigger than they're supposed to be, then you have to tell me that it's kasher. Of course it's kasher. If you didn't do it, what's the avoda whatsoever, it's fine. Here that he does the avoda, it's going to make it worse. So my pitim rubot. No, pitim rubot over here is shiriba bipititim. Not that they are large folds that he left, but he folded up so much. He did an excessive folding. He did more than was necessary in terms of the folding over here. And that Tosfos points out over here, this is only according to the Manda Amar, that the Petita is only folding it twice. 1 to 2 and 2 to 4. Not that you fold it all the way down. But according to the Manda Amar, that you fold it down into the small pieces, then that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing over here. So that can't be what the Mishnah is addressing. This answer is only according to the one who says that the amount of folding is 1 to 2, 2 to 4, and that's it. Vibay Teimel, Olam Pitim Rubot. Some say, no, the Mishnah is talking about large pieces. Mamash. Madutem. When they have a Torat Chalot Alehen, that it wouldn't work. I mean that if you do no Petita whatsoever, then the Mincha remains as a Chala. The Mincha remains as a Chala, that's Kasher. If you do the Petitim and you fold them down, then they're Petitim, and that's also Kasher. But what you have here, when you fold them, but not enough, you have something that's in a twilight zone. It's an in-between status. It's not a Chala anymore, it's not a Petita. So therefore, maybe it wouldn't be Kasher. Kamash Malan, that it's still Kasher in that instance. So now the Gemara makes a statement. Lema matnitin delok Rabbi Shimon. Let's say our Mishnah cannot be authored by Rabbi Shimon. Why is that? Shenemar, because Rabbi Shimon teaches us the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol kohen she'enu modeh ba'avudah. Any kohen is not modeh in the avudah, eino chelek b'kuna. He has no rights to the kuna. Meaning that if you're not modeh in avudah, you can't participate in the avudah, and you can't take a chelek in the karbanot. Shenemar, how do I know this? Because a makriv et dam hashlemim v'tachelev im bnei aron lo tiyeh shokayim min lemana. Modeh ba'avudah. If you do the makriv et dam hashlemim, if you agree that there should be avodah, then yesh lo chelek mikuna. Then you get the chelek of the kuna, you get a portion of what the kohanim are entitled to. She'enu modeh b'avodah. If you don't agree, if you don't believe in the avodah, you're not entitled to a portion. Ein lo chelek b'kuna. Ve'en le'li zu bilvat. This only spoke about makriv et dam hashlemim and the chelek. They only talk about zrikat adam, nakrat amurim. Minayin l'rabot tedvot v'avodot. How do I know to include all the 15 avodot? And what are examples of that? Ha yitzikot, doing yitzika. Ha blilot, the mixing, the pouring of the oil on the mincha, the mixing of the oil in the mincha, haptitot, the folding of the mincha, the melichot, the salting of the mincha, atnufot, the wave offering for those that are required, v'hagashot, doing the hagashot in the mizbeach, v'akmitzot, and doing the kmitza, v'aktarot, and placing it on the mizbeach, then by the ufot, hamlikot, doing melika, v'hakabalot, and the kabbalat adam, that is, done by a behema, v'hazaot, and the sprinkling of the dam, v'ashka'at ha-sota, or the giving of the meimarim to the sota to drink, v'arifat egla rufa, that has to be done by the kohen, or tarat mitzora, that also has to be done by the kohen, or nisuyot kupayim, which is only unique to the kohen, ben mibifnim, ben bimachutz, this is one item, ben mibifnim means in the azara, ben machutz means in the chutz, the azara, I mean anywhere else besides in the migdash, because the birkat kohenim is done differently in the migdash than it's done outside of the migdash, but there's still one item here in this list of the 15 items. But what do you see from this? Minayin, how do you know that you include all these avodot, that if you don't believe, if you don't participate in these avodot, don't believe in them, that you're not a chilek miyakuna? Tamalomarim b'nei Aron, avodam surah l'bnei Aron. The pasuk says b'nei Aron indicates to us anything that is given to b'nei Aron, any avodah that's done by b'nei Aron. So now, that means, kol kohen she'enu modeba, ein lo chilek b'kuna. If you don't believe in the avodah that's designated specifically for the b'nei Aron, then ein lo chilek b'avodah. Then you get no portion of it. So what do you see from here? You see, what in this list, what's included? Yitzika. Our Mishnah, we just said, lo yitzok, means that a kohen didn't do it, but rather a zar did the yitzika. Over here, Rabbi Shimon in that list seems to indicate that the yitzika, the shemen, is something that's unique to b'nei Aron. And therefore, if you don't, b'nei Aron don't believe in yitzika, they don't get a portion of the korban. So you see, Rabbi Shimon disagrees that it must be done by a kohen, not that it can be done by a zar, and therefore he can't be the author of our Mishnah. Now, Tosfos points out in this list here of Rabbi Shimon, the holacha is missing. Why isn't that one of the avodot? You remember, that's Rabbi Shimon Lashitatei. Shimon Lashitatei says that holacha is an unnecessary avodah, therefore it's not me'akev, therefore it doesn't have to be done by kihuna. Although Tosa says, well, that's true of the Echatot HaChitzonot, but the Echatot HaPinimiyot, where Yehulacha is Ma'akev, because you can't do the Shechita inside the Echa, you have to do it outside, and therefore you must carry the Dam inside. What are you going to say? So Tosa gives one of two reasons. Either it's subsumed under Kabbalat Adam, because we learn out Holacha and Kabbalat Adam from the same Pasuk, because of the term of Holacha is used to express Kabbalat Adam, or Tana B'Shir. Tosa brings other Avodot afterwards that are not included here, and he says Tana B'Shir, you could say the same thing with regards to Holacha. So now Rabbi Nachman comes to try to reconcile between Rabbi Shimon and Abraham, and he says, Lo kasha, kan b'minchat kohanim, kan b'minchat Yisrael. There's a difference between which type of mincha. A minchat kohanim is kalil, goes totally on the mizbeach. There is no kmitza, over there we would suggest, because the Torah tells us that by the minchat chavitim in Parshat Tzav, it tells us, b'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo teyachel. That's the mention of the minchat kohen. But kohen is designated separately, as no komets, it's brought alone. Over there, there's no mention of yitzikat ha-shemen. The yitzikat ha-shemen is mentioned in Vayikra, Perek Bet, when it talks about the minchat nedavot. They're talking about a minchat yisrael, because we're talking about kmitzah, we're talking about something that is not going kalil l'mizbeach. Over there is where the yitzikah is mentioned, in the minchat solot and minchat machavat. So maybe, we can explain it this way. Minchat yisrael when it comes to the minchat of a Israel, and that requires a kmitza, and by kmitza it says in the pasuk, the kohanim must do the kmitza. That means from the process of kmitza and onward is mitzvah kohen. The yitzikah, the shemen, is done prior to the kmitza. Yitzikah is part of the process of making the mincha. Kmitza is done once the mincha is totally finished. So over there, we're going to say, mi kmitza veilech is me'akev, and therefore by the mincha to Israel, we won't require that there be a kohen, limit yitzikah b'lilash k'sher bazar. Therefore, by yitzikah b'lilash k'sher bazar. Minchat kohenim, delav bat kmitza hi. Made that kohen that doesn't require any kmitza, it's kalil da mizbeyach. Therefore, mi kara ba'i kuna, and his kuna, some of the kohen to do it from the beginning. It's clear that the kohen has to put on the and there's no separation of avodot here, so it must be that the kohen has to do all the avodot here, including the preparation of the mincha. Therefore, it'll be me'akev that the kohen does the yitzikat hashemen. Your logic makes no sense. You're suggesting by the minchat Yisrael, yitzikah is not me'akev, and by the minchat kohen, it is me'akev. Minchat kohenim me'echa yidrabu. Minchat kohen, where do you learn it from? Minchat kohen, there's one pasuk in the Torah. It says, kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh. That it'll be, that any comes to a minchat kohen, then it goes, kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo teyach. Hell. Where does it tell you about all the avodot on the mincha? Well, obviously we learned that out from the minchat Yisrael. How do you know there's yitzika by the minchat kohen? Because all the avodot, all the preparation of the mincha are described by the minchat Yisrael. Ma'atam k'shera, if you're learning it out, it's dayol avo. Meaning, if you're learning it out from minchat Yisrael, by the minchat Yisrael, kohen is not ma'akev. How could you suggest by the minchat kohen it's bizarre? Avocha not k'shera bizarre. How could you suggest that it's ma'akev over here? Zikadam, right? Some suggest that Rav Nachman's difference or way to explain, reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah was this. The difference between whether there's a kmitzah or in kmitzah. Well, that should be the same thing, almost, because Minchat Kohen is Kaleo, there is no kmitzah. Minchat Israel does have a kmitzah. My nafkamina, what's the difference between them? In the Lishner Bratra, it includes Minchat Nisachim. By the Minchat Nisachim that are brought along with the Korbanot, those Minachot are also Kaleo on the Mizbeach. They do not have a kometz taken on them, they're put entirely onto the Mizbeach. So that would include those. They are Minchat Israel, but they have no kmitzah. So in the second Lashon, that will be included under the category of the Minchat Kohen. So Amalei Rava, well, the same question that Rava has, Michtei Nik Mitzot Me'enach Idrabe. Those that do not have a kmitzah taken off them, meaning Minchat Nisachim and the Minchat Kohen, how do we know that they require Yitzikah? Yitzikah is only written by the Minchat Solet and by the Minchat Machavat, which are both Minchat Israel. There are Nik Mitzot. Nik Mitzot, so they should be like Nik Mitzot. Ma'atam K'shira Bazar. How can I K'shira Bazar? Can't learn more than the source. Ella Michavarta Matinit and Delok Rabbi Shimon. It's clear that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. So my time with the Rabbanon. What's the reason of the Rabbanon? The pasuk says, "Vayitzok alei Hashem and v'natan alei levona ve'viyol bnei Aaron haKohen v'kamatz haKohanim v'kamatz." That's the pasuk I read to you by the Minchat Solet. It says, "Ve'viyol bnei Aaron haKohanim v'kamatz misham lo kumso." The kometz is done by the Kohanim, which is mitzvah kuna is mikmitzvah elach. Only from the kmitzah onward is there mitzvah kuna, but the preparation of mincha that can even be done by a zar. The mira yitzikav v'lach sheir bazar. V'Rabbi Shimon, what about Rabbi Shimon? He has the same problem in the pasuk. How did he learn that pasuk? Rabbi Shimon bnei Aaron. He says that Vivel Bnei Aaron HaKohanim v'kamatz misham. That's pasuk bet. Pasuk aleph ends v'yatzak alei Hashem v'natan alei levona. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon believes that the Bnei Aaron HaKohanim are referencing both what's after them v'kamatz, like the chachamim, but also what's prior to that v'yatzak alei Hashem v'natan alei levona is also referencing or being referenced by Bnei Aaron HaKohanim, and therefore there's a requirement of kuhuna both by the kmitzah, like the chachamim, but also by the yitzikah. There's a requirement for a Kohen over there. Here the Gemara is going to question this position, Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon really believe in this drasha or this methodology for drashot of Mikrani Dreshlifanav Lacharav? But we'll deal with that in tomorrow's daf. We'll stop over here.